to you from the Lord our God, creator of heaven and earth, and through the living spirit of Jesus Christ. How good it is to gather together today. I know it's kind of yucky outside, but it is warm and peaceful and loving inside. This is a place, a house of peace. May you indeed be at peace as we gather together to worship together today. I invite you to turn your heart, your mind, your body, your very self, to turn your heart to God. I invite us to call ourselves to worship. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can share them together responsibly as you feel comfortable and guided. And I'll start, and then we'll share together. Really bold. No need to fret over sinners or to envy wrongdoers. They wither like grass. They wilt like young plants. You are No. We take a moment to soak in the presence of God. What is it about silence that allows people to find new life? When we sit in silence together, we breathe more deeply. We slow down. We gentle our eyes and our hearts. We don't talk. The mystery of silence draws us deeper into love. And love is something we cannot control. Love invites us into fresh ways of thinking and unfamiliar ways of being. God is love. And consenting to sit in silence, we allow love some space. Silence makes space for love and is a practice in our spiritual journey. And it would be so wonderful if it just weren't for all these people around. And this is also part of our spiritual journey, that we are called to be Christians with people. It would be a lot easier to be a Christian by myself in my home, where I didn't actually have to deal with anybody. And here we are always invited to deal with one another. And this is a holy and spiritual practice, too. And this is how we deal with one another. We only wish each other well. We love one another. And we help carry each other's burdens. We celebrate each other's joys. We pray for one another. We become the body of Christ. Are there joys or concerns that you would share aloud at this time? Prayers that you would like to lift to God and to one another?
Our son feels. Girlfriend Rebecca starts chemo this week. She has stage 4 cancer, so pray for her. Thank you,
Jane. Hi. I have prayers for the people at the end of my block, who, as I was driving to church, obviously had a water main break. And also prayers for all the people who take care of us during those times, the city workers, and there's a whole, half the city of Duluth crew, I think, is out there right now, and the people that help clear our ice dams and plow our roads and are out in that horrible weather. I just have a lot of gratitude for them.
Thank you.
I'd like prayers. My friend Paul has struggled for 10 years to get pregnant and finally found out she was having triplets, and they were due in the middle of May. So now two of them are on the ventilator and the third of them is in NICU, and they're triplet girls. And they're apparently relatively healthy, and I think they're all going to survive at home. But she posted a thing and she was just a little bit stressed.
Thank you. source of joy for pasties and all the people who make them, and people who live together for a long time, jostling around, making dough, filling them, doing all good things for our good church. Got more to say?
And for those of you who didn't hear, Pastor Sarah got engaged.
Oh! I have to stop. I keep saying that like every 5 minutes, so it probably should come up eventually.
Can we check this? Prayers for my dad. On March 4th, he's having surgery to have a mass removed from his colon. They don't know if it's cancer or not, but just pray that all goes well.
Thank you.
A joy, our son Philip was 41 yesterday, and he's out in California for a vacation with his girlfriend.
A lot of my friends are at St. Louis and will be until Tuesday. A lot of clergy, a lot of lay people are in St. Louis. Our worldwide United Methodist Connection is convening at a special general conference right now, discerning a way forward, trying to prevent a schism in our church as we learn how to love one another in the midst of differing opinions, as we discuss and talk about human sexuality. We are urged every day to pray for our general conference, every day from 2:23 to 2:26 every day. If you want to set up a timer or alarm. But I encourage you to hold our church in prayer, your United Methodist Church worldwide. Whatever the outcome is, it will change our church for the years to come. I invite you to continue in a spirit of prayer. Let's see that anymore. There are words printed in our bulletin, and we can pray them together, saying, O God of all, you are never alone. Even when you seem to us to be in solitary splendor, you yourself choose to live within community. O God of community, help us to know your presence in our lives. Increase our appreciation of the gift of your church, imperfect though it is, because we are human. By the power of your Spirit, bind us together. Help us come to know ourselves as your people, empowered by your presence. Loves you just as you are. God loves God's church. And by God's grace, we are who we are. We are God's children. We are God's people. We are God's church. We pray together as Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. Don't you feel like we've just been to camp? Don't you all feel warm and happy now that we've sung that lovely? Don't you? Do you? What, do you remember when you learned that song? Is it at camp? I learned it at camp. Aww. And now we get to pass it on. We got to sing it, and now we get to live it. Will you pass on the peace of Christ?
Morning. My name is Brad. I'm really confused. Our reading this morning comes from
Luke chapter 6, verses 27 to 38. But I say to you, that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And for anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much again. But love your enemies. Do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High. For he is kind and ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful.
My suggestion could be just the whole sermon. People used to say in my former church when it was weather was like this and there were smaller, a little smaller crowd, they'd say, a wise farmer doesn't put all of the hay out for just one horse. Just make the sermon shorter. You're getting the full sermon today. I can't stop myself. My suggestion is, though, however, and it could be that you could do this, my suggestion is that you read this scripture passage, Luke 6, 27 through 36. I would even suggest reading Luke 6, 20 through 26, the Sermon on the Mount that we read last week. Read these two scripture passages. Read chapter 6. Read it every day. Read it every day this week. What if we read these scripture passages every day for a month? How might doing so affect or impact us? What would change? If we read, love your enemy every day? For me, encountering this passage once a year for at least, we'll say 10 years, has changed my vocabulary. Now, I think I'm more intentional about saying the word, enemies. When I'm inviting people to church events, I often try to say, bring your friends and enemies. And people chuckle, because it's funny and biblical. We know that. But it sounds weird, like reciting Old English out of context. We know what the word means, right? Enemies? But hardly anyone ever says it, let alone engages the actuality of it. For good reason, I think. For you know, I don't know if you ever had them, but I grew up in Silver Bay, a very small town. And I knew the bullies in school. I knew all about enemies. And the machinations of teenagers. Holy smokes, if teenagers weren't so hormonal, they could run the world. For alliances, wow, alliances go up and down through a study hall. In high school, you could get shoved in your locker for just the kind of jeans you were wearing. So for me, when I was in high school, I just kept my head down. I tried to stay out of the way. Don't engage, my mom would say. Stay out of their way. I was not going to walk toward the crazy drama. I just wanted to get out of there. I wanted to get out of there. Maybe high school is a poor example of our spiritual journey, but I think most of us have been there and lived it, and we've got coping skills. Maybe the ones that we learned in high school. And now it's 2019. And now we seemingly cannot help but draw lines. Draw the lines between people I can talk to and people I just can't deal with anymore. And I'm still trying to learn how to maintain healthy boundaries and love people when it isn't fair or reasonable, or when people are being complete jerks. This is complicated stuff. And I wonder what the Spirit of God would say if we listened. So take some time. Take some real time and read the scriptures. And spend some time in the temple of your soul, the place where God is pleased to dwell. For I am more and more convinced that our lives as Christians, our work, our holy work of following Jesus, it first begins inside yourself, inside myself. We can talk and talk and talk, and some of us obviously do, but it doesn't mean anything. It means nothing if I don't live it in my own heart. And so I was surprised this week when I got sick. I think I probably ate something I shouldn't have. I don't know, I won't get into it. But I woke up in the middle of the night feeling terrible and asking Jesus to take me away because I just couldn't. It was awful. And you know you never die when you want to. But I lived through it. And then I was sick in the morning. And I went to church. And then I had to leave church early because it's still, I felt terrible. And then it started. The voice. The voice telling me, reminding me of all of the ways that I suck. I don't know the adult term for that, so I apologize. Only, and then it's saying, why are you sick again? Weren't you already sick one time this winter? Aren't you strong enough to not get sick again? Are you smart enough to not get sick? Obviously you're not smart enough if you get sick again. Obviously you're not smart enough if you write such stupid sermons. You can't do anything, right? You're the worst pastor. You're the worst person. And on it went. And then I realized that I'm my own worst enemy. The things that I say to myself, I wouldn't say to my worst enemy. And it's only been through my experience as a pastor that I've learned this. Because I've had beautiful, wonderful people come into my office and tell me about how terrible they are and how much they hate themselves. And I cannot believe it because these are amazing human beings. And yet I know that sometimes I hate myself too. Maybe we don't all struggle with this inner enemy. But I do think that we don't love ourselves enough. And I think that it impacts the world. It shapes the world that we live in. Because God loves you just the way you are. For God so loves the world that God gave us Jesus to remind us. God loves you. Why can't I? So let's try something. And now I know that this isn't going to work for everybody. And not everybody experiences or engages God in this way. And that's okay. So if you think this is a dumb activity, you just sit and be thankful where you are that this isn't, that somebody is experiencing God right now. It might not be you, and that's okay. So just sit and think about all the good things in your life, or think about the Oscars coming up tonight, or whatever it is you need to do. But for those of you who want to try this, sit in a comfortable position. Make yourself comfortable. Close your eyes if you want to. And just be aware of who and where you are right now. How your body is shaped. And how you are feeling. Are you tired? Are you crabby? Are you happy? Are you excited? Are you bored? Is there a pain somewhere? Knowing how it is that you feel right now. What is the kindest thing you can say to yourself? What is the kindest thing you can do for yourself today? To yourself. Let the kindest voice you hear be in your own head. For we are like trees planted by the water, drawing love and peace and compassion from God, from God who gives love and peace and compassion. And we have to draw peace and love up first through our own trunk, before we can spread up and out through our leaves, peace and love. Nourishment and goodness first in here, in your own self, before we can share healing oxygen with anyone else. John Wesley wrote in a sermon, and I won't make you read John Wesley's sermons, because you think my sermons are long. His are very, very, very long. But read the Bible. John Wesley said, "True religion is a combination of gratitude and benevolence. Gratitude to our Creator, and benevolence to our fellow creatures. Our thankfulness to God is shown in the care we give to one another, to our enemies, and to ourselves." May it be so today.
I
you, thank you so much, Liz and Joe and Tanner and Kevin and Mackenzie, and thank you for all of you who are here and help participate and make this worship experience a positive, joyful, meaningful one. We can give thanks for all of the gifts in our lives, and I invite you to take a moment to remember how much you have received, to remember the gifts of your life, the people and the places and the things that matter to you. All of this is a gift from God. Everything we have is God's. And now we continue the process, the great mysterious work of giving and receiving and giving and receiving, of opening your heart and realizing that there is no end to the grace of God. I invite you to give and receive our morning offering today. March 6th. 6, and there will be an Ash Wednesday service here in the sanctuary at 6:30. And then following that, through every Wednesday during the season of Lent, that's the next 5 weeks, we will have a simple soup supper, a simple worship experience, contemplative worship experience. And I invite you to bring your friends, your enemies, to bring anybody you want to come and celebrate and share a Holy Lent together. Are there other announcements that you would like to share? Okay, I'm going to get Barb first.
There's a new flower shop, a new flower chart out in the narthex for March, and it's very, very empty, so please sign up. And also watch for through your newsletter that is coming out. There will be order form in there for lilies and tulips, because we have to start thinking about Easter.
Oh, Easter's coming. Where are you going, Donna?
I didn't want to stand in front of me. Excuse me. Sue Beeman.
Oh, what? Microphone, I'm sorry.
Sue Beeman, Helen Stelmacher, and Celeste Dahl.
We are one in the heart, we are one in the spirit, we
God's holy healing presence in your life. So go in peace to love one another. Love your enemies. Love yourself. Amen. Go in peace.